Hi, I'm Jillian Swinford.
And I'm Haley Brolison.
And this is Mother Nature Will Kill You,
a podcast about the most horrific tragedies
and the most triumphant survival stories that the wilderness can provide.
So grab your backpack
and maybe a bottle of wine.
And let's go on a wild ride into the unknown.
Walking down this road I go, but I am going alone. Running far, far from home, till I am but skin and bone. I don't wanna die, but I'll have to try. Oh, I don't wanna die, but I'm on my own.
Everyone,
good morning or
good
afternoon,
good evening,
whatever time of day it is.
Good middle of the night. I don't know what you do with your life. Like, more power to you if you can do that. But
yeah,
I am very much a 11 o'clock. That is bedtime. No more. Which I know is actually pretty late for most.
Yeah,
I
was like 11 o'clock is, I don't think that's early. I used to be like an 8 p.m.er when I would wake up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym. But then after being with Alex, we've kind of like leveled each other out. Like, now I go to bed at like 9:30 or 10, and he goes to bed around 9:30 or 10 when he would normally go to bed around like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. When I was in school, like 1 o'clock in the morning was my bedtime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I used to do that quite a bit in college, but then it got to a point where I was like, my brain does not retain anything after midnight. So, like, I would just cut it off at midnight and then take some time to like decompress and then go to bed.
It's just not feasible. But, no. I don't know. When we have to get up early, like I do tomorrow, we try to go to bed at 10, but we, you know, try to like get a bunch of stuff done so that we don't have to wake up as early, so like our breakfasts and like coffee and all that stuff is done, we get it like all together tonight so that we don't even have to worry about it.
Do you have a automatic start to your coffee maker?
No, but we do cold brew.
Oh yeah, that's smart.
So I can just be wired at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
The first time that I had cold brew, I don't think I realized I needed to water it down. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, no wonder people like this.
Yeah, I was like buzzing off the walls. And really, nowadays, it's the only coffee that actually does anything for me. So that's field day coffee, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Field day coffee, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my field day coffees were when I was in Utah? We made like mochas, pretty much.
That's cute.
Like, it was like shitty Folgers. I mean, I don't know if it's shitty or not, but it was like, I don't know. Folgers to me is like very like basic, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So it was like pretty basic coffee. And maybe I just labeled myself as a coffee snob. Oh well. But so I'm like, holy crap, did I just like label myself as a coffee snob? I'm not really a coffee snob. I'm just like, ew, Folgers, like whatever. Anyway, it was Folgers, and then like to make it taste better, we would pour like the cocoa mix, the hot cocoa mix in there. So like that's how we had our coffees. And then
that's poor tech coffee. That's what that is.
Yes. That's camp coffee. That's camp mochas, tech mochas, whatever you want to call them. Yes.
Yeah.
It was like everybody, it was so funny. Like the first time like I was up there with them, this one girl, she just like handed me the hot cocoa powder. She's like, you're gonna want this. And I was like, why? And then I took a sip and I was like, oh yeah, give me that.
You're like, oh, because it's bad.
Yeah,
it tastes burnt. Yeah,
you just, yeah, it tastes burnt. So you make it taste like burnt chocolate instead.
Oh, the fun times we had back in the day.
I miss it, honestly. Like, I see these like TikTokers and Instagram people nowadays, and it's so funny because like I would make videos for my friends and family when I was like in the woods in Utah, like doing all of the work, and then like I'd come back to service and like send them the videos of like what we did like while we were gone. And I was like, if Instagram and like TikTok were a thing like it was today back then, like I would have been all over this shit, like white on rice. I was like, but I wasn't. And also like the camera quality back then on your cell phones were like so much shittier than it is
Yes,
today.
this is very true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But yeah,
I've
I'm just jealous of those young budding technicians these
I
days. I'm like,
know.
oh, field work is so fun. I miss it.
Yeah, it is until you're 30, like my husband is, and your body's falling apart, and then it's not so fun to be a tech.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons I switched career paths is because like I
Yeah.
got injured and like I was out of a job essentially for like 3 months while I was healing. And
Yeah.
I was like, I can't fucking do this. Like, what
Yeah.
happens when I'm like in my 40s still pulling nets? Like, do I even want to be in my 40s pulling nets? Like, my body's gonna hurt every day. But tell you what, that was the best shape I've ever been in my life was doing field work.
Oh yeah.
You're out there
Absolutely.
all day. It's like literally physical labor.
Yeah. Best
Yeah.
tan of your life too, if you're
Best tan of your
smart.
life. Yes, if
Yeah.
you're smart, tons of sunscreen. But
Yeah.
like also my arms were so toned. It was so great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to
Yeah.
do it like once a week, which like satisfies but doesn't kill me, you know what
Yeah.
I mean? So
It's
it's
like
kind of
just enough
ideal.
to scratch that itch. You're like,
Yeah.
okay, I'm good.
It's like, oh, I get to go outside on a boat this week at least once, and then you're out there and it's freaking hot or it's freaking early and you're like, oh, that's right, that's why I don't do this all
Yes. Oh
the
my
time.
God. I was outside on Sunday. Well, this whole weekend I was pretty much outside. But on Sunday we were driving back south because we were in Naples for the weekend. And we were driving back south and we were stopping and fishing along the way and like the Everglades and like Big Cypress and all that stuff. And it was so freaking hot out. Like I was sweating my pants were wet because I was sweating so much. Like my shirt was like soggy,
A little
you
bit of
know.
swamp ass action
Yeah, a
going
little bit of swamp ass in the
on.
swamp, you know. Like I just it was so hot. And like I got burned on my arms a little bit because like we were like in and out of the car for like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes at a time. And like just doing that a couple of times, like I got burned. And I was like, holy crap, like I don't even know how I used to work out in this like heat in Sarasota. I was like, did I like really just get used to it? Or like maybe I was just in the water all the time. Like I didn't feel it, but like, holy crap. I was like, it is so hot out. But then I was talking to somebody recently. It was the woman who was watching our dog while we were away this weekend, and she's lived here for like 10 years, and she's been coming down here since she was like a kid, and she's like, I have never like experienced a summer as hot as we had it this summer. She's
Yeah,
like, I think it's like the hottest summer I've ever, or like the heat I've ever had. And
that's
I was
what
like,
a lot of like Texans, like lived in Texas, grew up in Texas, whole life in Texas, have been telling me. And I'm
yeah,
like, that's great.
it's only gonna get worse because of climate change. Yeah, I'm like, I was out walking Waylon and I was like, ooh, I feel kind of lightheaded. And I was like, I don't know if this is hormonal or if I'm like about to pass out because like I'm overheated. And like, you know me, I'm kind of stubborn. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. And so like I walked like another mile and I got back home and I was like, I need to immediately change out of these clothes because now I am soaked through. But
Disgusting.
yeah.
Well, we're getting a cold front in a week. Hopefully, knock on all the wood, cross fingers, whatever. And it's gonna get down to the 50s at
That's
night.
so exciting.
I'm
It's
excited.
fall, y'all.
I got my little orange pumpkin
I
flannel on
see.
today.
Oh, I like it.
Manifesting.
Yes.
Manifesting.
There's leaves on the ground here, but it's just because of the wind. It's not because it's
It's because the
fall.
trees are dying. It's not because
Yes.
they're dying from the heat. They're not dying because of a natural
I am.
cycle. Well, and you said yes to a dress, it looks like.
I did. Yes, I did say yes to the dress. And I didn't really have many pictures of it because I was using my phone to FaceTime my mom and my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
But I can send you some of the pictures that I have from it.
Please.
But yeah, it's really pretty. And it's like, it's definitely got like wow factor, which I wanted. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you said yes so quickly because I feel like you are one to be somewhat indecisive sometimes.
Oh, I totally was, which is why I said yes so quickly. Cause I was like, I need to get a dress today because I have 6 months till I get married. And I know that like, that's not okay. So like I am way behind on getting this put together. But also I said yes quickly because I had been looking online at dresses because down here there's no bridal stores.
No.
So like either you have to go to the mainland to get a dress or you have to get one shipped to you and then like try them all on.
That's what I did.
Yeah. So like, and just having a bunch sent to me like felt, I don't know, that was very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Even just looking at them online was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But after like looking and looking and looking, I came across one dress and I was like, wow, that's a really pretty dress. Like, I would love to try that one on. Like, I think that would be the one that I pick if like it fits and it's nice and I like it and how it feels and everything like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at where the dress was at, like in stores in South Florida, and they had that dress in some stores in Miami and then like some in Naples. And Alex's good friends live in Naples. So I was like, oh, like, I'll just get it. I'll ask and see if I can like make an appointment there.
Yeah.
Communicate with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we went to Naples, and the whole purpose of going to Naples was to try on that dress. But yeah, I tried on a couple other ones and they're like really pretty, but it is very overwhelming. And I am indecisive, and they're all really pretty. And I really don't have like a specific style when it comes to like a wedding dress. And so, yeah, I tried on a couple, but there was like the one in particular that I was like really just pretty much hoping would work.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I really like that one. It's unique and it has wow factor and like, you know, I like it obviously. So that was just kind of, I don't know. I think what I wanted was really just something that was like still me, but like different, you know, like it was unique because like it's in my head, I'd be like, oh, it's just a white dress. Like, that's the only thing I need to get. It's just like, it's just a white dress. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter. But then I'm like, well, but it does matter because it's my wedding. And like, it's the one time I get to do this. And like, I'm doing this for my wedding. Like, it's like the one time I get to like pick something that's like, you know, really like just really something that's like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I might as well like actually like let my flair come through instead of just trying to be more like, I don't know, like
do what you want to do.
So, yeah, so that's a long way of saying that, yes, I am very indecisive and it was very overwhelming, but I had one in particular that I really wanted to try on, and that was the one that I ended up saying yes to.
Well, then that's another box checked.
But yeah, so we went up to Naples to do that. We did the wedding dress stuff, and then we just hung out with Alex's friends and saw them for a bit, and then we just made our way back south and fished some of the way down. Oh, and we also went to the zoo before we left the area too. That was fun. That was cool. So yeah, it was good.
So at least you like made it a deal of it. It wasn't just like a
But yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah, hooray. It looks
things great. Are happening.
I know. It's so nice that's happening.
All right, well, should we switch gears?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, we talked a lot about me.
No, that's all right. And I'll edit out what needs to be edited out. And
yes.
I'll be good. I haven't been doing anything anyway, like, other than work. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, if you ever need a volunteer, you just let me know.
All right.
I'll come down or over or up. I guess it's technically up.
Yes. Up and over. I feel like over.
Up and over? Over.
Yeah.
It's over.
So anyway, there's a news story that popped up. I don't remember if I sent it to you or not, but apparently there's been three astronauts that were kind of stuck in space for a year.
Oh my God. And we just learned about this?
I just learned about this. So We like to do space stories on here from time to time, because space is nature. Yes. So we've done, what, Apollo 11. We recently did the Soyuz 11.
What year did they get lost? Like, are they still lost?
No, they came back. Oh, so it's okay. Like super recent. So I'm going to read from this ABC News article. So a NASA astronaut and two Russian cosmonauts returned to Earth on Wednesday after being in space for just over a year. American Frank Rubio set a record for the longest U.S. space flight as a result of the extended stay. So they landed in a remote area of Kazakhstan, descending in a Soyuz capsule. So it is the Russian Soyuz program. That was rushed up as a replacement after their original ride was hit by space junk and lost all its coolant while docked on the International Space Station. So these three were up on the ISS and their return vehicle got damaged, basically. And so what should have been a 180-day mission turned into a 371-day stay.
Oh, wow.
So actually almost exactly a year.
That is crazy.
So long. Rubio spent more than 2 weeks longer in space than Mark Van Hey, who held NASA's previous endurance record. So this beat that guy's record. But Russia holds the world record of 437 days, which was set in the mid-1990s. So Russia has a world record for that. So the Soyuz capsule that brought Rubio and cosmonaut Sergei Prokopyev and Dmitry Petelin back was a replacement launched in February. Russian engineers suspect a piece of space junk pierced the radiator of their original capsule late last year, midway through what should have been a 6-month mission. Engineers worried that without cooling, the capsule's electronics and any occupants could overheat to dangerous levels, so the craft returned empty instead of with astronauts. There wasn't another Soyuz to launch a fresh crew until this month. Their replacement finally arrived 2 weeks ago. So that's basically, they got stuck in space because some of their equipment, their return equipment basically failed.
Oh my God, that's scary.
So Rubio said after being pulled from the capsule, it's good to be home. Rubio, 47, an army doctor and helicopter pilot, said at a news conference last week that he never would have agreed to a full year in space if asked at the outset. He ended up missing important family milestones, including the oldest of his four children finishing her first year at the U.S. Naval Academy and another heading off to West Point. Rubio said the psychological aspect of spending so long in space was tougher than he expected. He may hold on to this record for a while. NASA has no plans as of now for more year-long missions. It was the first space flight for Rubio and Petelin, 40, an engineer. Prokopyev, 48, an engineer and pilot, has now pulled two long station stints. They logged 157 million miles since launching from Kazakhstan last September and circled the world nearly 6,000 times.
Wow.
So, interesting news. Doesn't involve death this time.
How did they have enough food up there? I guess
I know that they resupply the ISS like with rockets that are launched that can't hold people but can hold supplies. So
oh, okay. So they just like sent them more stuff all the time.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But they also, I think, have a decent amount stored on hand, you know, as well.
Yeah.
But it's a fairly big station. That's but it's neat. Still, like, can you imagine being trapped with two other dudes who you don't really know very well? Now you're going to get to know really well, probably too well. Just staring at Earth, going by.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That would drive
That's
me
wild.
A little crazy, I think.
Watching the space station go by?
Watching Earth go by while I'm
Oh,
sitting in the space station.
Oh, Earth go by? Yes. You're like, there it is. I could just go home, but I can't.
But if I tried, I'd probably just float out into nothingness.
And die.
Exactly. So that, I thought that was an interesting, because I had no idea that was going on.
Yeah, see, like, that doesn't make the news. Like,
nope.
Oh, we've had astronauts stranded at the space station for a whole year.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile.
Golly.
Meanwhile, let's talk about Donald Trump for the 50 millionth time. But I digress.
Yeah.
So that's the news story of the week. But it's spooky season, as we've discussed. And we're getting costumes together for, we're going to a ball.
A ball?
In Galveston.
Like a fancy ball?
No, I mean, it's like a big costume party, basically.
Oh,
but it's
that's so fun.
Held at the Scottish Rite Church. So it's like a macabre, like, almost like a masquerade ball kind of vibe. So
that's fun. How'd you guys get invited to that? Or was it like a community event?
So it is ticketed, but our friends they used to go to it like all the time before COVID. And I think this is the first year they're going back since COVID, and they keep talking it up. So we're going to go too.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do anything other than like get a stupid elaborate costume together.
Yeah, it sounds super easy just to go somewhere and do that.
I know.
Our neighborhood, I think I've told you before, like we're on the edge of like where the action is within the neighborhood for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really nice. Like, it's nice to be away from it, but it's kind of like a bummer that you don't get any trick-or-treaters, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll have to ask Alex what he wants to do this year. He'll be in town for it, I think. But, yeah, because we could just have friends over and just have like a little party here, and then walk the neighborhood and see all the action, what they do. They do like shaving cream fights and like a haunted forest. And
oh, that's
like,
fun.
Yeah, like the center of the neighborhood gets all decorated and goes all out. And like people come from other neighborhoods in the Keys to like park alongside the road to like come
Go.
to our neighborhood for
yeah.
like all that stuff. So, yeah, so it's nice living on the edge of it. So you could just like walk in and walk home, you know. But we'll see what we do this year. We had some friends over last year, but our house was not as put together as it is now. So we'll see what
yeah.
we do. I also might want to rip the kitchen sink out and put a new one in. So,
you know, house
maybe,
problems.
Yeah, maybe that'll come before that. Yeah.
Well, so speaking of spooky season, I feel like I rarely pick stories that lean into like folklore and like paranormal stuff. I tend to try to find factual stories.
Well, that's fair because, you know, we always talk about real life things that have
yeah.
happened.
But this story kind of melds the two because it takes place so long ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. Is this a paranormal thing?
It is kind of a paranormal thing. Yeah. Paranormal meets survival. So.
Okay.
And we've talked about ghosts occasionally, like whenever we talk about like the Great Lake shipwrecks, there's usually ghosts associated, or like the third man factor, you know, when people are surviving and they're at their basically the end, they'll see another person like next to them kind of thing. So it's not like we haven't delved into that a little bit, but this one is like the first full on like actual paranormal kind of story.
Well, just so you know, I'm gonna be afraid for at least the next two nights. So
it's not that bad.
Okay.
It's not that scary.
I'm still probably gonna wait till Alex gets home to go to bed.
Okay. So
I do
this
get really scared.
Is
Not
the
a fun one.
story of Marguerite Laroque and the Isle of Demons in Newfoundland.
Thick.
Yeah, sick.
Isle of Demons.
Yeah, casual, super
Yeah.
casual. So beginning in the 16th century, there was an island off the coast of Newfoundland that was called the Isle of Demons. Rumors spread among early explorers and colonizers that those who ventured near the island heard strange noises, and mariners believed the island was inhabited by evil demons. It was said to be impossible to find, as it was surrounded by a constant veil of thick mist. It was also said that ships that sailed near it could hear a distant wail of the screaming of tormented souls trapped there. Those who step ashore were harassed day and night by evil spirits who jabber unintelligibly and conjure terrifying illusions. It was described by one sailor that it was as if they were buffeted by a great tempest, and they heard in the air about the tops and the masts of their vessels human voices making a great din. But there was no form in their speech, only such a murmuring as you might hear in the middle of a public hall on a market day. Supposedly, First Nations people also avoided the island at all costs, believing it was evil. It's thought that more likely they avoided areas where a person had died, believing the area was haunted by their spirit, and the Isle of Demons was one such place. So, setting the scene.
Spooky, misty, screamy.
Yeah.
Haunted. Aisle.
Right. And I mean, this was the time when, like, Europeans were just really starting to colonize North America.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're in the 1500s, I believe. 16th century.
1497, 1508, 1424.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all these dates you've listed.
It's a long ass time ago.
Yeah, that is a long ass time ago.
Like Christopher Columbus times, basically. So I can only imagine like pulling up to freaking like the maritime coast of Canada and being like, this place is sketchy.
Right? Like, if I pulled up to that and it's like foggy mist, you hear like distant screams, super spooky, I'd be like, okay, I'm not going there.
Yeah. And it's cold and it's windy and it's not good for agriculture. Like
what do you do?
Yeah.
Nothing. You leave. That's what you
right.
do.
There's a reason like New England is like one of the spookiest places in America, because it just has like that vibe, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's an aesthetic, there's a vibe.
Haunted, that's the vibe is that it's haunted.
The vibe is that it's haunted.
It's what it is.
I mean, it doesn't help all this shit we've tried to pull there too, but that being said, I've always found like the North Atlantic, like the coastline, very like moody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the pines and stuff.
Yeah. Like New England area.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the witch trials were.
Yeah.
A lot of unrested souls over there.
Yes. And we murdered a bunch of Native Americans, I'm sure.
Yes.
So yeah, it's just, there's a vibe. And I feel like that just extends up north, up the coast. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
I agree.
So the origin of the name is uncertain. In 1424, a Venetian cartographer, Giovanni Pizzicano, placed... I feel like that's the only way you can pronounce that shit.
You have to pinch your hand like an Italian to
yes.
say those Italian words.
Exactly. So he placed an island named Satananzes on a chart to the west of Portugal. The island was relocated, not physically, but on the map, and renamed in 1508 by Dutch mapmaker Johan Ruysch. Ruysch had traveled on John Cabot's 1497 expedition to Canada. He was one of the first French colonizers in Canada. And he was asked to draft an updated map of the world. It was only the second European map to include parts of North America. So it's like fresh off the press. I hurt my elbow when I did that.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
Fresh off the press. You're like, thud.
Fresh off the press. So it's like they didn't have maps of North America when this map was made. And yet on Ruysch's map, it's shown as two islands to the east near Newfoundland, the Isle of Demons. So this idea that this island existed was pretty prevalent already early on in our Western map-making history, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the map had images of demons attacking passing ships on the island.
But, oh, cool. Nice. Yeah.
Casual. The island was shown on maps near Newfoundland and Labrador from early 16th to the 17th century. Despite this, it disappeared from maps during the mid-17th century, and no one knows for sure where it is today. It's known, I know, it's known as a phantom island of the Atlantic, or land masses that appeared on European maps during the Age of Exploration only to be removed when they couldn't find them again.
Oh.
So.
Sea level rise.
Well, it probably still exists as an island. We just don't know which one it is.
Oh, okay.
Like, somebody but why, was like.
How do we not know which one it is?
Well, if it's okay. Like,
if it's always been there. So, I have questions.
Scroll down. To oh, okay. This map picture, the first one, I think.
The, like, sepia-toned?
Yeah. Map. Here's part of the problem. So, you see that little island down there? It's Terra Nova.
Yeah.
So, that's Newfoundland. The island above it is the Island of Demons, which is considerably bigger than Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And Newfoundland is huge in real life.
Oh.
So there's a lot of fucking inaccuracies on very old maps. I don't know if you've ever looked them up, but it is kind of hilarious to see how poorly drawn a lot of maps of North America were from this time.
I'm about to look up Newfoundland right now.
Yeah. It's huge, and there's no other landmass near it that's an island that could be the Island of Demons and be that big. So part of it is, you know, they were exploring these coastlines, not realizing they were part of like a larger landmass, or, you know, that they were actually part of a much larger island.
Yeah.
And they charted the damn thing wrong.
Whoops.
I mean, it was a very new, technology.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of the area. I mean, North America is huge. You know, it took a while for us to actually map it all out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think that's definitely part of the reason why it, quote unquote, like disappeared off of the map. But it's still a very interesting concept.
Imagine my delight when I typed in Newfoundland to look at images and there's a bunch of pictures of dogs.
Yay! Newfies!
Like, I knew that was a dog, but I just figured it would pop up with the like actual area first.
Oh no. No, dogs first, always. I love Newfoundlands. They're big dopes. Big slobbery dopes. Very good for cold water conditions, though. I wonder why.
This one map that I'm looking at of Newfoundland and Labrador, like, Newfoundland is huge, but like in aspect ratios, it's like pretty much the same as that old map you're showing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's definitely the old map definitely shows it to be a lot smaller than what it really is, though. So
right, and mm-hmm. like there's no giant island above it. So maybe they explored part of Labrador and like didn't realize that it was connected to the land. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe they just have like their direction wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And like they just like what I'm looking at now, it just looks like it's turned a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna send this to you. But that could also be my guess, is like turned it, like they just didn't do it right directionally.
Right. Know. Yeah. So there's some issues here, basically.
Yeah, there's clear issues. Long story short, they had some issues.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not a match, but this is what we had to work with. So we're going to talk about one story in particular that highlights some evidence that the island was in fact real. So the French were attempting to colonize Canada in the 1540s. And in 1542, an expedition led by Huguenot noble Jean-François de la Roque de Roberval.
Wow. Good job.
Thank you.
That's a lot.
I don't speak French, so this is fucking
I would have never guessed.
So he came in contact with the island. Roberval had recently been made Lieutenant General of New France in 1541. And so they set out to survey his new lands. So they were just like, here, have this big chunk of land that we don't know anything about and don't know if people live on it. And it's yours. Figure it out.
It's kind of giving Lost City of Z, but like, Lost City of Z kind of knew boundaries.
Yeah.
So these people didn't know anything about that land.
They're no. Like, you know, and
good luck.
Yeah. Like, fuck the people who are living on it, right? Like, yeah. I'm the lieutenant general now. You all have to listen to me. Like,
yeah.
So Roberval came from an old prestigious family and was part of the royal court his whole life. And it was close with King Francis I in his youth. So he was bestowed his title due to this. You know, it's who you know.
It's always about who you know. Mm-hmm. Networking, baby.
Networking. So a cousin of Roberval accompanied him on his expedition, a young woman named Marguerite de la Roque, along with her older nurse, a woman named Damien. There is some disagreement on whether Roberval was her brother or uncle instead of cousin, and this kind of comes up. I've had all three come up in the research that I've done, so I'm not really sure what the deal was. They were related somehow, though. That's the point.
Huh.
So,
like, incest was happening, or just couldn't like figure out who was related to who in which way?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because it's so from so long ago that like maybe there's some lost bits in translation, but
yeah,
there was no like consensus on whether she was a cousin or a niece or a sister.
Gotcha.
But no incest, and we'll get to why that is exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So Marguerite and Damien were hiding a third person aboard, unknown to Roberval. I keep saying his name different every single time.
It kind of sounds like you're saying Roberval.
Roberval.
If you say it fast enough.
Roberval. Roberval. I don't know.
Roberval.
Roberval.
That's definitely not Vale, but it's Roberval for sure. But
it sounds like you're saying rubber ball. It does.
Yes.
So Marguerite and Damien were hiding a stowaway who was a young lover of Marguerite's, whose name has been lost to time.
Oh, that sucks.
So
we want the drama.
We're gonna get the drama. You don't need to, you can just fill in his name. I don't know, whatever you want. Enrique, Jacques, I don't know. So due to being on a cramped ship, Rubber Ball discovered the bear. I'm taking this so seriously today.
I know.
So he discovered the pair potentially because Marguerite had become noticeably pregnant.
Oh. Side note, you know what I hate reading, like, about pregnant women back in the day is, like, when they say that, like, she had a condition, or, like, they say it, like, it's, like, the condition of pregnancy, or, like, they use it like it's a condition, and I'm like, it's not a fucking illness. Like, like, you're pregnant. Like, the way that it was, like, written about back in the day, it sounds like it's an illness or, like, a condition, or just, like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, dear God.
I do.
Like, Jesus Christ.
So she had a condition.
Yeah. She caught the pregnancy.
She caught the baby. So Robert Ball was a stern Calvinist, which was an early offshoot of Reformation era Protestantism in France, I believe. Could be Catholicism. I don't know. I just wrote that down and I'm going with it. Let me double check and fucking make sure that that's correct.
Calvinist, which is an early
offshoot. Protestantism. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I did do
that right. And, like, I'm not very good with religion. So, like, isn't Protestant, like, a form of Catholicism?
Technically, if you want to look at it that way, it came from Catholicism. It basically, all right, let's do some religion.
Because my mom's Protestant, I think. Mm-hmm. I think. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening, I got this wrong. I just know that her and my dad were not the same religion, but they were close enough that, like, it's the same kind of in their world, you know?
So Protestantism is an offshoot of Christianity from Catholicism, was the main big form of Christianity in Europe for, like, the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And people were pissed about a lot of the aspects of the Catholic Church, like a lot of the hypocrisy. They tended to hoard wealth, things like they didn't have, like, Bibles printed in people's languages, or they didn't preach in the language. So it's like, what are we even here for? We don't know what's going on. And so around this time frame, Martin Luther put out his whatever, like, 89 Reformation deals, whatever. So he basically formed Lutheranism, Protestantism. And from there, every single other, like, sect of Christianity, so, like, you know, you're Lutherans, you're Methodists, you're Baptists, you're, I don't know, Episcopalian, I don't know, all of those different sects fall under Protestantism except for Catholicism.
Okay, gotcha.
And don't ask me about the Mormons, they're their own fucking thing.
Glad you said that, because that was actually running through my brain. I was like, so what then are the Mormons? Because when I was out in Utah, I was like, I don't really fucking get any of this shit, man. Yeah. Like, I was born Catholic. I was raised Catholic. Like, I went to Catholic school up until eighth grade. Like, that's, like, what I know. But, like, to mm-hmm. me, it's very much, like, second nature, just because, like, that's just what was, like, beat into my brain.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Catholic trauma is a very real thing. Mm-hmm. And my mom was telling me this story recently about how, I believe it was somebody in my grandmother's church, was getting scammed out of, like, thousands of dollars. And it was all because, like, they were like, oh, like, they need the money, like, I'm a good Christian, mm-hmm. like, whatever, whatever. And I was like, see, that's where I have an issue with religion. It's like, mm-hmm. it teaches you to be so submissive to the point where this person is, like, getting scammed out of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Like, at a certain point, you have to be able to put your foot down, right? Like, that's still okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Yeah, it's like a lot of unlearning to do.
Yeah.
In the adulthood, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah, so. And I'm agnostic myself. So I'm not going to get into this can of worms on my side of it, but I think a lot of the faults of religion fall in human error and human fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so anyway, so this is history and religion with Jillian 101, where I the agnostic, tells you about all the different... Anyway, so Calvinism was a branch of Protestantism, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's all I wanted to know.
Yep. So to boil it all down, he was kind of a religious asshole. And he decided that he would not let his family member get away with such ungodly behavior as becoming pregnant out of wedlock.
She had a condition.
Yeah. So it's also possible and more likely that he was actually driven by greed, as he was deep in debt and Marguerite's death would allow him to take her inheritance conveniently.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
The good old murder for money.
Yes.
Motive.
Yes. So as punishment, both Marguerite and Damien were sent ashore in Canada to the Isle of Demons as their, like, sentence. So Damien was condemned alongside her lady because she had stood guard during all of their trysts. So she was lumped in too.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was like the wing woman.
Exactly. Robert Ball gave Marguerite and Damien a few provisions, some guns and ammo, but like that was it. And this is like way before like ships were fast and convenient and like happened all the time. So they were basically marooned on this island, helplessly watching the ship sail away. Marguerite's unnamed lover, on the other hand, was placed in confinement aboard the ship so they wouldn't be able to continue their life of sin together on the island.
Oh.
So he was going to be brought to a prison colony for his crimes, but supposedly somehow he escaped the ship and swam ashore with the, like, bringing two more guns and some more provisions. So at that point, the three set out to survive on their island prison.
So now we're in a story of survival.
Yes.
Bum, bum, bum.
So we got survival. We got ghosts. We got pregnancies.
Does she give birth to a demon baby?
It's like the Jersey Devil.
Is this where this is going?
No. I wish. That'd be sick. That'd be an even sicker story than this one.
She gets cursed on the demon island and has a demon baby.
And that's why the Jersey Devil lives in New Jersey today, kids. And for anybody who doesn't know, like, the lore behind the Jersey Devil is that this woman birthed it, basically.
Oh.
Yeah.
I literally thought you were just making jokes. I did not know that that was a thing.
I was making jokes, but, like, also there's a connection to my jokes.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was. I thought you were just, like, going with it. And I was like, okay, I don't know where New Jersey came out of this, but sure.
That's a very, I just pulled a very Phil Swinford thing right there. You make jokes not knowing if the person has the correct, like, context or, like, information to understand the joke. Yeah.
That was very... New Jersey Devil. So, isn't there a scary movie where that's a thing, though? What is that called?
I have no idea. I just know the lore behind the cryptid.
Yeah, there was, like, a scary movie that came out a few years ago, and I'm fairly certain, or maybe I saw it on Netflix, and I never watched it, but, like, I saw it as, like, the title and whatever, but I swear it's, like, actually, like, there's a film that's, like, the plot. Or, like, they have a demon baby.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. But, yeah, that's the lore behind the Jersey Devil. And if you ever want to like, have a little laugh, go look up, like, illustrations of the Jersey Devil. It's a good-ass time. The amalgamation of animals to create this thing.
Yeah.
So, no demon babies. So first, summer and autumn were idyllic, and they got to work building a crude cabin, fishing and hunting what animals they could, which included deer, moose, and bear. The demons soon came for a visit, though, reportedly in the guise of terrifying beasts, i.e. wolves and bears, trying to tear down the hut, surrounding them in the dark of the night with a cacophony of inhuman screeches. While their piety and repentance in the form of praying eventually purportedly mollified the spirits, it was not enough to save them from the cold hand of nature. So I'm wondering, though, animals wake, like, make some weird ass noises. You know
they
what I mean?
They do. Like, golly. Oh, okay. A peacock. The first time I fucking heard a peacock, I was like, are dinosaurs coming back to this earth?
Yeah.
They were literally like, ah, ah, ah. And I'm like, what is that noise? I'm like, that's a bird?
Now I'm just picturing this entire island, like, inhabited by, like, a bunch of bears, but also a bunch of peacocks.
Yes. And, like, oh my gosh, we were just at the zoo, and so I was thinking about that fact where, like, animals make these weird ass sounds, and then it's like, oh, it's probably just an animal. And now I'm forgetting what it was, like, some sort of, like, scream, like an animal makes a scream, but now I can't remember the animal.
Fox? Was it a fox?
Maybe it was a fox
or a mountain lion,
something like that. Maybe it was a mountain lion. Yes, or like a panther or something.
Because they can make, like, human sounds.
Yeah, because, like, my friend Sarah, she was fishing, like, in the Everglades, and she was telling me this story, and this was recently, how, like, she heard, like, a scream, and she was like, what the fuck was that? And, like, she kind of, like, I don't know if she, like, really thought anything of it, but then she, like, looked up what, like, panther sounds like, and she's like, holy shit, like, the elusive Florida panther, like, I heard it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, they make, like, yes, very much human sound they make from time
to time. Yeah, we were camping in Big Bend. We heard some, well, Corey was passed out. I heard some screaming noises in the dead of the night. And
you're like, what is happening?
I'm like, okay, Scott, has to be best case scenario, like a fox or a javelina. Worst case scenario, someone's dying, or it's like a cougar or a mountain lion in camp. Like,
yes. Yes.
So I'm like, that's what I'm picturing personally. But we'll get into some of the theories later as to, like, why they were constantly, like, bombarded by demons at night, basically, or, like, the sounds of screeches.
Well, like, what animals live over there?
Well, like, I'm sure there's foxes of some sort. They said wolves. They said bears. I wouldn't be surprised if there's mountain lions, cougars. Yeah. There's seabirds.
Yeah. Do any of those, like, screaming bird sounds or, like, screaming animal sounds?
Yeah. And it could just be because they're so isolated at this point. Like, anything would freak you out. And, like, your mind's weird.
Like, the paranoia. Know? Like, you'd start hearing things that you don't really hear.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, and so, like, soon in the winter, they run out of food and are only able to eat roots, herbs, and drink, like, brackish water, which is their only source of somewhat fresh water on the island. Uh-uh. So, like, their diets getting completely destroyed as well, and that messes with your head.
Oh, for sure.
So it's thought that this diet plus the tainted water caused the man to become bloated and die. So he's the first to die.
Oh no.
On the island, the nameless man, the nameless lover, probably should have stayed on that ship, buddy.
Yeah. Oh.
He wanted to get his last few fucks in before he walked off this mortal coil. Anyway, so Marguerite tried to bury the body, but the ground was frozen solid, so she and Damien had to stay in the cabin with the body before the spring thawed.
Ew, so that's a smelly couple of months.
Yeah. And there's just a dead guy just hanging out, you
Oh
know?
my God, that's freaky.
Yeah. So Marguerite had to use her guns several times to fend off wild predators from scavenging the body as well.
I
Because
bet.
they're smelling it too. And they're like, hey, there ain't no food, lady. Give me your
Yeah, give me your
fuck boy,
guy.
please.
Yeah.
So once the spring came, a weakened Marguerite and Damien managed to finally lay the man to rest. And she's pregnant, by the way. She's
Yes.
pregnant. So during the spring, despite the lack of food, she gave birth to her child. However, the child soon died because she wasn't able to produce substantial milk due to her condition. In
Of
this
not
case,
eating. Yeah.
yes. Not the condition of being
Not that she was
pregnant.
pregnant, she just wasn't having a sufficient diet to produce
Right.
the right nutrients. Yeah, that's sad.
Which, yeah, is something that happens in lean times to mammals. You know, they're just not able to feed their children.
Yeah.
So, following this, Damien died as well the following winter, which then left Marguerite entirely on her own.
Oh.
So she spent the next winter fending off bears from her meager shelter. She survived by hunting wild animals when she could, even killing and skinning a bear that was as white as an egg, which was thought to be a polar bear.
Oh, wow.
Right? Which were likely more common in regions of Labrador at the time than they are now.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that she had to fight a fucking polar bear.
That's intense. That's
Yeah.
frightening. Like, I'm afraid of grizzly bears, but polar bears would just that beats a grizzly bear for me. It goes polar bear, grizzly bear, and then black bear.
Yeah.
I don't know any other bear, but that's the tier
That's
bear for
Panda
me.
Bear at the very bottom.
Oh yes, panda bear at the very bottom. Yes. So that's the tier of bears on fear factor in my brain.
The bear tier.
I have a very healthy fear of beers. Bears. I have a very healthy fear of bears. I was thinking about that the other day, and I also have a very healthy fear of alligators. I don't fuck with those things.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That death roll, man, that'll get you.
Ambush predators. That's what it really is. When you can't see and you're like, fuck that, I know they're in here, but you
I'll
can't
tell
see
you.
them.
I'll tell you what, though, I'd rather square off up against an alligator than a grizzly bear any day of the week.
Yes, if I had to choose between a grizzly bear and an alligator, I would choose the alligator for sure.
I saw this thing on TikTok that was
Ask your
like
boyfriend what animal he would like to
a
fight. Was it
yeah, and it's
that
like a grizzly, a tiger, a hippo, and a gator. And I'm like, you're
one?
an
Never a
idiot.
hippo. N never.
Never.
Never a hippo.
Like, you're an idiot if you don't say gator. Like,
Yes. Yes.
you don't know anything about animals if you don't say gator.
No. But speaking of tigers, this is gonna be another sidetrack, so whatever. But like, when we were visiting Alex's friends, we were asking them like how the Naples Zoo was. I'm like, oh yeah, it's so great. Like, you guys should go. And they're like, but there's not a tiger there anymore. And the reason behind that is somebody tried to feed the tiger a Pop-Tart and it didn't go so well.
That's very
And
Florida.
yes. And so, and I think it was I don't think it was a keeper, but it was like after hours or something like that. So like a person tried to feed the tiger, it didn't go so well. The guy tried to jump, or I don't think he jumped the fence. I think he like stuck his hand, like he like was like sticking his hand through like the fence, and it took his arm through, like, you know how like a chain link fence has like the tiny like triangle square thing?
Oh.
Yeah, so like it took his arm through that, made it bigger, and then like was chewing on his arm for like 15 minutes until a cop showed up. And the body cam footage of the cop is like, hey, is this real? Like, he was like, this, am I seeing this? Like, can somebody please confirm that like this man's arm is getting chewed off by a tiger? Like, he was
Yeah.
such in disbelief. He was like, no, somebody else needs to tell me that this is what I'm seeing right now. And then he had to shoot the tiger because obviously, like, it's eating a man. Yes. And then apparently everybody in the local area was more frustrated by the fact that they had to shoot the tiger to save the man than, like, tranquilizing it or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, like, the cop who doesn't have any, like, tranquilizer on him.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It's like, I get that, like, you want them to be tranquilized, but this man's arm has been being chewed on for literally 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they kind of need to, like, take care of the situation now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't have time to spare.
Like, hold on, let me go get the tranquilizer.
Yeah, like, let me just walk back to my truck real quick. I'll be with you in a moment. You know, the guy's like, all right, anytime. My arm's already lost. Whatever.
Oh my God.
So that's the reason why there's not a tiger at the Naples Zoo right now.
That is very Florida man, though. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So back to our Newfoundland lady. So she maybe hunted a polar bear, which is pretty sick.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So she said, she still said she would hear the noise of the underworld every night, the sounds of shrieking winds and storms howling outside. So this is like something throughout her experience that she's experiencing. So a lot of people think like, oh, this is the proof. This is like the proof that like the Isle of Demons was real and existed, like was full of demons and whatever.
Well, also, like, have you ever heard like a really strong wind that like it whistles?
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty eerie.
Yes, it is. So by the spring of 1544, Marguerite was barely alive. She's emaciated and exhausted, and she drug herself out of her cabin with an iron will to survive. She had built a fire, and a passing French or Basque, maybe, fishing ship saw the smoke rising from her fire and then saw her laid out on the shore. They quickly sent a party to investigate. They found Marguerite huddling in her tattered clothes on the beach and offered her passage back to France. She had spent a total of 2 years on the island.
Oh, wow.
And survived.
That is insane.
Yeah.
2 years hunting polar bears.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a woman at that.
Yeah.
My stars.
Oh my God.
Pregnant woman, actually. So.
Honestly, like, I don't understand how women back then recovered from childbirth.
I don't know.
Like, so I don't know how I've stumbled across that part of TikTok, but sometimes it comes up. Mm-hmm. And just, like, watching what women have to do now after childbirth, I'm like, how the hell did anybody survive back in the day?
I don't know. Like, I think a lot of people died.
Like, what? Like, they're, like, just, like, all natural birth all the time, and then just, like, all natural healing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no stitches.
God. Yes. No C-sections. Just stretched out and split in half all the time.
No epidural.
Mm-mm.
No.
I can't imagine.
Not even like alcohol and Neosporin to disinfect. They didn't even know that infections were caused by not washing your hands.
I was like, you know what my mom told me? My mom told me that that's, like, how they figured, like, that's why people wear, like, scrubs and gloves and stuff now, is because, like, women were dying in childbirth.
Yes.
And then, like, it was the one time they went from, like, a childbirth to, like, another surgery without really, like, sanitizing themselves. And they're like, huh, this person died. And normally it's the women in childbirth that die when we do this. Why is this person dying? It was just a regular surgery. And then they finally put two and two together that they don't sanitize themselves between bodily fluids of different people.
Yeah.
And, like, that needed to be a thing. I was like, oh my God, that is disgusting.
I also know that they would, like, go from working in the mortuary to, like, helping a woman give birth, sans hand washing, like, stuff like that.
Like, that is disgusting. Like, what makes you think that that's okay? Like, common sense is, like, you wash your hands, like, anytime you touch something yucky. you wash your hands.
Apparently like, not.
I guess they didn't back then. Yeah, I don't understand. That's gross.
So when she returns to France, she becomes an immediate celebrity as her story combined two of the most popular storytelling genres at the time, romance and survival, which I feel like that has carried on to today. Yes. Shortly after, she was paid a visit by Jean Alphonse, who was the captain of the ship that she was marooned from. So Marguerite told her entire story to Alphonse, who took it to Marguerite, Queen of Navarre. So there's two Marguerites now.
Okay.
So the Marguerite, Queen of Navarre, was King Francis's sister. Marguerite of Navarre loved the story so much that she included it in her extremely popular collection of short stories called Heptameron. The story is recounted in the Heptameron in novella 67, although the queen apparently took some creative liberties with the story. Later, writer, cosmographer, priest, and explorer André Thévet recorded Marguerite de La Roque's story more accurately in his book called The Cosmographie Universelle, allowing a more accurate version of the story to survive into modern times. There are some differences between the two accounts, and it's not known which one is truly more accurate, which is probably why there's differences when I research. So, for example, in the Queen's version, it states that the lover was marooned first, with Marguerite opting to join him. And in the Vay's version, is that the young man escapes and swims to join them. So you can see kind of like the differences between the two, and it's kind of hard to, I kind of tried to side more with the Vay's version because it seems like it might be the more accurate version, but
yeah,
I mean, these were written so long ago too that accuracy is kind of hard to come by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So Marguerite, after achieving celebrity, became a schoolmistress, founding a private school for girls, settling in Nantron. There are no records of any action or changes brought by her against good old Roberval. Rubber ball. Good old rubber ball. So that's her story. Let's talk about maybe some of the theories.
Yes, I love a good theory.
Yeah. So, knowing the story of Marguerite, the location of the Islands of Demons has been speculated on to this day by locals and academics alike. So, many believe the modern-day location is Queerpin Island on the northern tip of Newfoundland. And I made a map so you can see it all.
Okay.
That's down there. So, Queerpin Island is the most likely island, I think. But others believe that they were left on Harrington Island, an island located in Quebec on the Gulf of St. Lawrence. A local legend there stated that Marguerite found shelter in a small rocky cave, which to this day is known as Marguerite's Cave. Another story is Fishoe Island, which is near Newfoundland and Labrador's most easterly borders, as it's home to a colony of gannets, which might explain the claims of howling demons that they heard from the island. Because those are pretty noisy seabirds. Belle Isle and Great Caribou Island have also been named as possible locations of the Isle of Demons. So Queerpin, Great Caribou Island, and Belle Isle lay in or near the Strait of Belle Isle, which sits between Newfoundland and Labrador and connects the Gulf of St. Lawrence to the Atlantic Ocean. So it's thought that one of these may be the true location of the Isle of Demons. So if you scroll down, you can see I have all five locations kind of laid out. And most of them are kind of clustered basically around the Strait of Belle Isle.
Yeah.
On the Atlantic coast. And then there's that one that's all the way over in Quebec.
Quebec.
Quebec. Yeah.
Do you watch Letterkenny?
I do. Nice fishing, Quebec.
Quebec?
So.
Sorry, I just can never get that out of my head.
I can't either now that I've seen that. I'm like, Quebec, always, Quebec? Yeah. It's Quebecois. So what may have caused the supernatural occurrences? Well, thousands of seabirds breed on rocky outcrops along the Atlantic coastline, and Renaissance sailors would time their trips to North America in May or June so they could avoid the pack ice, right? Seabirds often breed this time of year in the Arctic, and Newfoundland and Labrador are also more foggy during this time of year due to like the Gulf current, like mixed, like the water's warmer, it's, or the air is warmer and it's mixing with the cold water. There's some physics. There's physics. Yeah,
hashtag physics. It's happening.
So the demons that Marguerite experienced on the island could have been the noises of wild animals that were unfamiliar to her. Like things like, oh, I have suggestions, like walruses and bald eagles, which bald eagles have a weird, they have a weird call for sure.
They do. Yep. I've heard it on my bird app.
Yep. So, and then these noises were heightened by the desolate landscape and lack of food. So, my personal theory is that the screeching sound came from also from nearby sea ice scraping and creaking because there are lots of icebergs in the area.
Yeah.
Especially during winter.
That's a fun fact I didn't think about.
Yeah. So regardless of the reasons, and despite the theories, the Isle of Demons has disappeared in the modern day, and we may never know it was truly inhabited with demons, as Marguerite de la Roque and many others have claimed. But I think it's seabirds and icebergs.
Yes. Seabirds and icebergs. It makes sense.
Yeah. And you can, like, watch icebergs float by in Quirpin Island. They have this inn there, and you can literally just sit and watch, like, monstrous icebergs go by.
That's wild. That'd be, like, a very... Yeah. Like a bucket list thing to see.
Yeah. And I'll put a picture up of the inn, the view from the inn. It's pretty wild. It's down here at the bottom. Now I want to go do that. So now I have a new vacation destination.
Yes.
Like a lot. You can do that in a lot of Newfoundland though, not just there. Like there's, because icebergs come down like, you know, during certain times of year, and you can just sit and watch them, even though it's not necessarily, you know, covered in ice and snow, but it's far enough north that they're there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the Isle of Demons. And
that's interesting.
I know.
So spooky season, it was like, you know, not murders, but like death happened on this island, and it already was pretty spooky. So they named it the Isle of Demons. Mm-hmm.
It's a phantom island because it disappeared.
Yeah. Wow.
Clever.
That's interesting. I mean, just all of the history of like bad cartography to like just shunning people to an island when they're pregnant. Just very wild.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that should be the episode, bad cartography. Yeah. Because that's pretty much.
Just a bit of bad cartography here.
Where she had a condition.
Yeah. She had a condition, heard some sounds, just speculated they were demons.
Yeah. I mean.
But it's funny how, like, back in that day, like, everybody speculated that it was just, like, demons or something paranormal. Yeah. Or, like, witches. You know, like, the Salem witch trials. It's like, oh, she, like, uses herbs to heal people. She's a witch.
Yeah, like, let's immediately jump to the dumbest and like least, you have the least evidence for, and like,
oh, she has a strong immune system, so she didn't catch the plague. She's a witch.
She's a witch. She washed her hands.
Witch. It makes me think of like that scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail where they're like,
Yes.
burner, burner. And they're like asking, like, oh, what'd she do to you? And he's like, she turned me into a newt. And then he's like, I got better.
I got better.
What was it? It was, what sinks in water? Or like, what floats in water? What was that line?
It floats.
God. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, what floats in water? He's like, very small rocks. Lead. Lead. I'm like, oh, a duck.
A duck.
And if she weighs more than a duck, then she's a witch. And then, like, she just, like, sinks on, like, the scale. And they're like,
Murder! Oh, to be a woman back in the day. That's the scariest thing of all.
Still, honestly, like, Jesus. Our rights are getting taken away left and right.
I think it's just always been scary to be a woman.
I know. Like,
that's just the vibe.
Can you just give us a break, please? We do so much.
For the love of God, please.
Yes.
Leave us alone for 2 minutes.
Like, you know what I think about a lot, actually, is, like, my grandmother was alive when women mm-hmm. obtained the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. fucking wild.
Mm-hmm. Yep. People don't think about that. It's not like it's that far removed from now.
My
it's
parents
not.
Were in school when the first African American was mixed with white people in a school system.
Yep.
That's wild.
Yep. And we all act like this is so far away, so far removed, and it's like, it's really not.
It's really not, no. And you know what else is pretty wild? It's like, if you look into, like, the trending time frame of, like, pandemics, it happens, like, every 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we just went through one, so that means, like, 100 years from now, there's going to be another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to suck for them.
Yeah, I don't plan on being alive then, no. But...
If yeah. we are, we'll, like, be those.
I back have this, in my like, day, we wore masks.
I just, I'm, like, realizing, like, we're going to be, like, those people, like, in like, the 90s, you'd hear, like, well, this person was born in, like, 1897. They were born in the century before, and everyone was like, that's wild. And they're, like, still like, alive.
Yeah, and that's going like, to be us.
That's going to be us. We're going to be, there's somebody born in 1992 and they're still alive.
That's wild. Blasphemy. She's a witch.
She's a witch.
Oh my God. No, I read something the other day that was like about how like in the next couple of decades, like humans are going to be able to live to like 100 and something years old. Like wait, that's no. like going to be like the average. And I was like, that is just too much. Like, just my mom's aunt, so, like, I guess that makes her my great aunt. When we were in Pennsylvania visiting her at the beginning of September, she's so funny. She's 90 years old, and she is, like, so ready to die. Like, she's, like, very, very religious. And so she's, like, every night I just pray that the Lord just takes me home. But every morning I just wake up again. But you know, I'm grateful to be here. You know?
But also I'm done. I feel that. Like I don't mean to laugh, but it's like I'm like, yeah. I know I'm gonna be there for sure.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, Tootie, that what? Like and she's like, but I'm glad to be alive, you know. She's like, but you know, I'm also ready to go. I think it's my time now. Like I'm just ready. And I was like, God.
I mean, I guess it's better to be ready than to not be ready, but
yeah, but she like just passed her elderly driving test. Like she can still drive a fucking car and she has one good eye and she has hearing aids. Like I don't understand.
So much to live like, for.
Like I yeah. like I am mind blown at the fact that she's still legally allowed to drive a car.
I feel like at that point, your body is just, like, falling apart. Actually falling. Not, like, are falling apart, but, like, for real, for real. Yes. Like, you are no longer in control of your functions.
Well,
like,
I think she was, I'm pretty sure she was born with a bad eye or she had a bad eye, like, in her childhood. So she's always had, like, one bad eye. But so like she's always been like half blind. But like she has like hearing aids now, you know, so it's like she's, I don't know. I guess she's kind of, she's obviously getting old, but like she's still up, like she's still moving around just fine, you know. And then her sister is my grandma, and my grandma's 88, I believe. So like my grandma's almost 90. My grandma goes bowling. She goes golfing multiple times a week.
Oh yeah,
she goes to her like her card games. She like goes out to the country. Like she does all of these things. Like she is so mobile and like active. I'm like, you go, you go, you just live your best life. But yeah, it's crazy how like, I don't know, back like what 100 years ago the oldest people lived were like to their 50s.
Yep.
And now it's like people live to like their hundreds.
It's wild. I'm not ready for another like 70 years of this shit. I'm not gonna lie.
Things have to get better if I'm going to be living for 70 more years. That's all I got to say. Like,
well, speaking of other spooky things, well, actually, real quick, I'm going to do my citations and then do you have a cryptid?
So I do. I don't know how well it is or how good it is because, like, I was trying to find cryptids in that area and it was another fucking lake monster. And I was like, I'm always doing fucking lake monsters. Like, I don't want to do that again. And so I found a screecher, so we'll talk about that for a little bit, but you'll go do your thing.
Okay. You could do a Wendigo.
What's a Wendigo?
It's a Native American supernatural being.
Oh.
I think they're in Newfoundland. Well, Great Lakes. All right.
I was looking around Quebec. That's what I Googled. I said Quebec cryptids.
So my sources were The Marooning of Marguerite de la Roque, sorry, from History Courses, Marguerite de la Roque from Wikipedia, The Elusive Isle of Demons by Cynthia Smith, Library of Congress blogs, A Woman to Know, Marguerite de la Roque de Roberval by Julia Carpenter from awomantoknow.com. And This Phantom Island Was Once Believed to Lie in the Strait of Belle Isle by Ainsley Hawthorne of CBC Canada. And that's all I got today.
Good deal. Well, for my first cryptid, I might have multiple cryptids, so we're just going to kind of we'll work through it together.
Yeah.
So the first cryptid that I have is called the Lackwood Screecher. And Lack is LAC, so maybe it's Lockwood Screecher. It's an elusive yet loud creature that roams somewhere in the Lockwood, Quebec, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Not much is known about the screecher other than it's truly frightening, almost metallic screech. It's a metallic-y, screechy kind of sound.
Hmm.
Those who have heard it says that it's absolutely bone-chilling, and then being in close proximity of the creature itself can cause a painful throbbing sensation in the head, nosebleeds, nausea, and vomiting.
Oh.
So I imagine that's like in those scary movies where they hear the really loud sounds and they get like disoriented and like, you know what I'm talking about? That's how I imagine that happening.
Yeah.
The creature also leaves behind hair and dandruff that if it comes in contact with exposed skin can cause irritation, rash, blistering, and even peeling. And the
Are they sure it's not a cat?
That's what I thought when I saw that. I was like, that sounds real feline allergy. But there hasn't been like any like, I don't know, sightings of this. So I think it's just still like pretty much lore. But in extreme cases can cause large amounts of skin to peel, causing profuse bleeding and scarring.
Oh.
The creature is yet to be captured on film, and there has been no known recent encounters. As of 2018, reports have been made of sightings in the area surrounding Quebec, such as New Brunswick, and even as far as Nova Scotia. Okay, so I guess there have been reports, whatever. There are 10 comments on this. Let me read these real quick.
But now I gotta go listen. I wanna go listen to it.
I kind of wanna listen to it, too.
There's this one guy on YouTube. I'm sure he's like gonna fucking talk about himself and the Lakewood Screecher.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, I'm about to listen to this thing screech.
Oh, do it. Turn it up.
Maybe. No, it's just some dude running around in the woods.
Oh.
They don't have it. They don't have it on like a recording. I could have sworn that Wendigos are found in Quebec too, but
what? Maybe well, we can not. Still talk about them. How do you spell that? Wendigo?
Wendigo. Monsters in Canada.
It's a mythological creature or evil spirit originating from the folklore of Plains and Great Lakes natives, as well as some First Nations. It's based in and around the East Coast forests of Canada, the Great Plains regions of the United States, and the Great Lakes region of the United States and Canada, grouped in modern ethnology and speakers of
Algonquin.
Thank you. Family languages. The Wendigo is often said to be a malevolent. God.
Malevolent.
Malevolent. I know how to say that word. Just like reading it was hard. Jeez. Malevolent spirit, sometimes depicted as a creature with human-like characteristics, which possesses human beings. Oh, so it's like a. It's one of those.
Yeah, it's folkloric. Yeah.
Wendigo is like synonymous with devil, is what I'm getting at here, since it possesses human beings.
Yeah.
It's said to invoke feelings of insatiable greed and hunger, the desire to cannibalize other humans, and the propensity to commit murder in those that fall under its influence. In some representations, the Wendigo is described as a giant humanoid with a heart of ice, a foul stench, or sudden unreasonable chill that might precede its approach. This actually is making me think of that movie you told me to watch of the group of guys that go camping.
Oh, and The Ritual?
Yes, we watched it, and then I had nightmares that night.
You're welcome.
Yes, but it's funny because while I was having the nightmare, like, I don't know how, like, how many people actually do this. Mm-hmm. But, like, I actually can think consciously while I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
So, like, you lucid know what I mean? Dreaming. Is that what that really is? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm in a nightmare. And I'm, like, I know that I'm just dreaming this because I watched that movie. Like, this isn't real. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'll just keep sleeping and having that dream and be freaking out, but knowing it's not real. And then, like, I'll wake up and I'm fine. Yep. I'm still kind of scared, but mm-hmm. I'm, like, I know that wasn't real. And then there's other times when I'm dreaming and like it, you know, when like you have a nightmare and like you're in your room, but like you can't wake up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that happens to me quite often, but like there's always one thing that is different that like I can point out and be like, I don't have that same lamp in real life, or like mm-hmm. that's not the same chair in real life. You know, like something is different. So I'm like, oh, I'm just dreaming. Like I need to wake up and like I wake up.
Yeah.
That's lucid dreaming. I never really figured out, like, I thought that mm-hmm. was just kind of like I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I guess I lucid dream.
You're welcome.
My brain is a very unhappy place at night. when it comes to sleeping. So that's why this shit really fucks me up.
Yeah. Well, so if you want to hear a fun description, if you scroll a little further down, Wendigos are part of the traditional belief system of a number of Algonquin-speaking peoples, including the Ojibwe, the Siouxsiouix, the Cree.
Sioux.
It's like it's spelled like Sault Ste. Marie and then Eaux.
So are you on Wikipedia? Suo? Right now?
I'm on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Oh, we're reading the same thing. I'm just trying to find where you are.
So although descriptions can vary somewhat, common to all these creatures is the view that the Wendigo is malevolent, cannibalistic, supernatural being. They were strongly associated with winter, the north, coldness, famine, and starvation. Basil H. Johnston, an Ojibwe teacher and scholar from Ontario, gives a description of the Wendigo. So the Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emaciation, its desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones, with bones pushing out against the skin, its complexion the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into their sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody, unclean, and suffering from the suppuration of the flesh. The Wendigo gave off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. So this isn't just, I mean, some people I'm sure like think of it like a cryptid, but it is a folklore, a like part of a traditional belief system. This creature is, yeah. So it's more so than that. And there's a ton of stories I know about Wendigo, usually surrounding times of famine and, you know, times where cannibalism might happen, you know, in these cultures. And usually it's associated with a Wendigo.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Insatiable greed or hunger. Yeah. Desire to cannibalize others, so it like essentially hunts you out,
mm-hmm. and then makes you do bad things.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's not as fun as the lake monsters.
I should have just stuck with the lake monster. Honestly, what's another Chessie in the books, really?
Yeah, for real. Well, next week, or next time, we're doing Appalachian monsters, so you can break away from that.
Okay. I know you and I are both on that side of TikTok, too.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I have to go find that account again, but there's, like, an account where, like, she, like, pulls all her blinds shut at, like, sundown because mm-hmm. of, like, the folklore being thing that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't know. I'm gullible enough that, like, if somebody were to show that on video, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Like, it's real. It's real. You'd be out there being like, there's demons on this island. Haley, they're just seagulls. There's demons.
I know. Well, like, also, like, the internet these days, it's like, you can't just trust, like, that's somebody in a costume, obviously, but, like, yeah. They make it look so real.
They do. It's good. And that's why I love it, because I love like the aesthetic and like the lore and all that. And it just, even if it's not to me real, I'm like, it's so interesting.
Yeah. That
this is what we've conjured to like fill in those gaps of things that we hear or see that don't sit right with us or creep us out. And so we come up with these like supernatural reasons, when often it's just because, you know, well, there was a seabird colony, or like there's a deer with what's that disease called? Wasting disease.
Oh my God. You know? Yeah, that shit's gross.
It's freaky.
My mom told me once before, though, that like the human brain like needs to have answers. And so mm-hmm. like if you don't have answers to something, it'll just start making something up.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like probably part of the problem of like all of this lore demon stuff is like,
yes.
Oh, we hear some really crazy sounds. I've never heard or seen this animal before. So like, I don't know it's an animal, mm-hmm. but like I need to have an answer to what I'm hearing. Clearly I'm hearing something.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore it must be a demon.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's no other rational reason.
And what like kind of blows my mind is like we just jump to the most negative conclusion automatically.
Yeah.
Like, why is that a thing?
Because we're creeped out,
I guess. Yeah, like mm-hmm. fear.
Yeah, fear's that's a big driver, you know.
Yeah,
it's interesting though. That's why I like these stories, because it's, you know, it's like why did we think this, and you know, what could be some of the reasons. And I don't know. It's an interesting story. Let's do favorite things or happy things real quick.
So we got like 10 minutes. Yeah, happy things real quick for 10 minutes. Happy thing was that I found a wedding dress this last weekend. We saw mm-hmm. some of Alex's friends, and they all have children. So like that was really fun to like, I don't know, see all of his friends and their kids and stuff like that too. It was cute. Mm-hmm. And we went to the zoo. We just had like a really great weekend in Naples. And then upcoming, I'm really crossing my fingers. I'm going to get a new job soon. So I'm just going to keep putting positive energy out for that.
Yes, manifest.
Yes, manifesting faux show. So I think that those are my happy things. It was just a great weekend and looking forward to what's to come.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I'm looking forward to some things as well. Obviously, the ball we're going to on Halloween, it's called the Misfits Ball. It's in Galveston. We're going on theme, which I didn't want to do, but I love a theme. I love sticking to a theme, but the theme is like circus and I fucking hate clowns.
Oh,
so
we go as the, Corey should go as the bearded lady.
We thought about that. We're actually, we're going to go as bad knife throwers.
Oh, that's fun.
So, like,
or is one of you going to be like stabbed a bunch of times?
Yeah.
Nice.
But like, I'm going all out with like the vintage, like I'm doing like a 1920s, like vintage aesthetic, but also skeleton. And there's going to be skeleton vibes too. I think it's going to look cool.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot, but it'll make sense when it's all together.
You have to send me pictures or take pictures so you guys, I want to see
for
them.
Sure. Yeah. And then, Britt and Jack, our friends from Virginia, they got engaged and we're gonna see them like in less than 2 weeks now. I think they're gonna be in San Antonio.
Oh, fun.
So we're gonna go see them. I haven't seen them since February when I was in Norfolk for conference, but Corey hasn't seen them in a long time, so
yeah. Oh, I remember Jack. He was like one of the new hires, or like the interns, or like our second year of doing the survey.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
Yeah. So him and Britt are getting hitched.
Yay!
Crazy.
We love a matchmaker, Damien.
I know. Like as soon as Corey was like, "We did that." I'm like, "I know."
Yeah, you totally did. Yes. That's gotta make you feel like really powerful.
Oh,
you're like,
yeah.
Yes, I brought two people together in love.
I've changed.
Spend the rest of your lives together.
I've changed your entire life.
When my boss was leaving, I told her, I was like, you know, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be getting married. And she was like, what? And I was like, you were the one that hired me. I would not be living down here. I would have never met my future husband if you didn't fucking hire me.
Yep. Like, if Chris hadn't hired Corey, I'd be in the same way. So,
She was like, well, then you're welcome. And I was like, thank you.
So, speaking of Corey, he has been prepping for the next episode we're doing. We're doing a reprise of Appalachian Trail Stories next week.
Yes.
Because it was really fun and I want to do it again. So,
yes.
So, he's on it. He's right. He's going to bring the folklore. You're going to bring the monster. I'm going to bring the scary true life bullshit. So
yes.
It's going to be a good time.
It's a trifecta.
It's going to be great. So where can our listeners find us?
Yeah, you guys can find us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We are different names on all of those platforms. So Facebook, it's Mother Nature Will Kill You. Instagram, it's Mother Nature Will Kill You Podcast, I believe, right? Or yes, it's the whole name on Instagram, Mother Nature Will Kill You Podcast. And then on TikTok, it's MNWKY Podcast. And I will admit that I need to hop back on that. And I know I said that last time, but I am actively thinking about getting back on there. So I'm sorry, but it has to happen sooner or later. They might look a little bit different than what they've been, but I need to just start making those TikToks again.
Yeah, I like literally schedule my social media updates every week. Like if I don't do that, I won't do it.
Yeah, so. I need to get back on it. It's just hard when it's like, you know, I was telling my parents, I was like, between looking for a new job, like scheduling a festival for work that I'm doing. And then also planning a wedding. I'm like, my brain is just in like every which way.
But, oh yeah, absolutely.
So I was thinking about like the TikToks just being like, oh, when I'm in the car, I can just talk about the last episode. Like, you know what I mean? Just instead of like trying to put all the green screen behind it, I might just talk about it because I don't like the green screen takes so much time. But
yes, it does. I know. I
yeah.
know it does.
So yeah, so I'm like, I just gotta get the talks out there. So I might just be putting some out of just me talking
Yeah.
about our latest episodes.
You got it.
Yeah.
So if you have been stranded on a spooky island and you want to tell us about it, or if you just have had an uncomfy experience in nature, maybe you got stranded on a regular island for a little bit, maybe something like that. We want to hear about it. And you can submit those stories too. We have a page on our website that's for story submission, or you can email us. If you want to help the podcast out, but you don't have any money because we live in a post-capitalist hellscape, you can give us a 5-star review to any of our listening platforms. And be sure to tune in next week because we are doing Appalachian Trail Tales. It's going to
Yes.
be peak spooky season.
Yes, yes,
So,
yes.
all right. So with that,
Until next time, stay safe, but most of all,
stay curious explorers.
got it right this time. For some
Goodbye.
reason, I don't ever get it right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.